This is the 43rd voice of your local announcer. Wait, I don't have that right. This is the 40th first edition. What am I talking about?
First edition voice.
Okay. Of the food show. And it's one of our special programs. And with us here is Eileen.
No, Allie.
Allie.
Lawson.
I do. You know, I knew before it would come out of my mouth that it would be wrong.
That's okay.
It's just, it's having, it requires that little spint, that little spurt. But anyway,
well, you
now
know,
we
the
are.
Good news is
what
that
is it?
I know how to say my own name.
You
so
do?
That's okay.
Oh. Well, say it for us, since you're the only one here who would make such a choice.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon on this dreary, nasty
New Orleans
day.
Oh, isn't it awful? And it was one of those days where everybody is telling everybody else what they need to do and get on it right now.
Well, I don't think you can get anywhere in this city too quick in weather like this. And, you know, I know we're not, I know that this isn't a weather show, but it really does change up the whole city because can I tell you that I left my house today in Old Metairie at 1:45 and I take airline to get here because I don't like to go on the stretch of 10 that bends around the area over there. And the direction that I took, they shut off the exit 210 because a semi truck had, I guess, taken another route and torn off the entire top of his semi truck.
Ooh, I wouldn't want to have been there then.
And thank goodness that I did leave my house at 1:45 because I had to completely detour to take a route. That's literally how this type of weather can change what is 10 minutes to get here for me, typically.
Yeah. Well, between me and Marianne and sons and daughters and all of these people. We've had it's me and that's it, just a one man kind of guy. And here we are today, and with me is
Allie Lofton.
Allie,
the oyster lady.
Allie.
Yep.
The oyster lady.
That's right.
And this is I'm an oyster lover, as I think I've put that.
I think we should talk about oysters today
for
a little bit. I do.
You know, I was heading into the store a couple of days ago, and I noticed that they had oysters, raw oysters. They weren't cooked in any way.
That's what makes them raw.
Yeah, that's exactly. Good one. I'm glad you set me back to the righteous truth there. Where was I? What was I talking
about? We were talking about raw oysters.
Raw oysters. Oysters in general, that's my favorite food. And I don't know what my outer limit would be, but I think it's pretty high. And it's very enjoyable to me. And the reason I brought this up is for the goodness of goodness, I don't know.
Because I'm here.
That's it.
And
that's exactly it. And what we're doing here is we talk about food, we talk about restaurants and cooking and wine. And tell me if you're interested. If you're not interested, tell me something else.
Has anybody gone out and eaten a good bit of oysters lately? And where have you gotten them? Because I'm going to tell you where I had some of the best lately.
Before I forget it again, I've just realized what it was that had me talking to you about this.
Oh, yes.
If I can remember it long enough that I can. Yeah, I think I might have missed it already. But the no, I'll tell you what it is. It has to do with oysters and the fact that this time of year is actually among the best times for oysters in terms of harvesting them. And we have gone through a couple of rough years. Months and more than that, the way I've read it. But oysters never stop being out there. They just keep coming in a strange way. But you've got this program that converts the oyster dishes that have come your way in a way that might make them more alluring.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you guys about that for a couple of minutes just refresh your memory, and then I'll tell you where I had some great oysters.
Oh, I'd love to know.
Okay, so y'all, hi, remember Allie Lofton, the oyster lady. I own Lofton Oysters, which is the ceramic oyster shell cookware company, just to kind of bring you up to speed. And we had a great season this year for our business. You know, we do really well in the fourth quarter, but we make the ceramic oyster shells that are functional cookware, which means you buy the already shucked kind that Tom is talking about at the grocery store or seafood market. And you scoop them out, and you can put them in our shells because they can stand up to direct flame. Mm-hmm. So not only can they go in the broiler, Tom, but they can go directly on the grill.
Yep.
And take the heat conduction of expanding and contracting, which is what happens when heat interacts with real oyster shells.
And if I could give an illustration of this,
yes.
One would be if you've ever gone to Drago's.
Yes.
And you've had their char-grilled oysters, the effect you get from that, from the shell, from the butter, from the garlic, from the herbs that are in there, all of that kind of comes together, and sometimes it gets a little edgy, and it's all, unless you've failed utterly, you want it to stay, you know, I wouldn't say stiff or really clunky. It ought to be kind of soft.
Yes, not overcooked.
But if you blast it with a lot of heat, you can get that effect without completely ruining the rest of the oyster.
Right.
True or false?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is not a difficult, but it is a delicate balance when cooking.
Would you like to see a definite balance?
A definite balance. Are you going to show us how to balance? So, when you do this,
do you have a photograph of this? Maybe
I don't, but I will take a picture of you later. Is you put them directly on the grill, or you can put them in the oven under the broiler, and they can stand up to the direct flame. And when you're done, you just put them in the dishwasher and run them through your cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely a convenience product. They are made to...
Well, it gets the job done.
Yeah, it gets
that
the job done.
That I can tell you.
And it's... This is our seventh year in business, our lucky number seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful. And you know, remember yesterday when I was asking?
I'm sure I did, but I've forgotten it since then.
Asking you and John Luke about how to create a successful business that lasts so long.
Mm-hmm.
And the remark he made specifically was quality and to not cut corners.
Oh, no. Don't ever cut corners.
Two great
edges you can cut, but
right.
Not, yeah.
Two great points. And to just continue to do great work. And I feel like even though 7 years is not 40 years, back to your point about nomenu.com running and the newsletter running for 40 years.
40 years. I can hardly believe that.
Running for 40 years, which I've got lots of questions about that after we finish talking about oysters, is that you've obviously put out a quality product for that long of time that people just enjoy. And I feel like we have succeeded for 7 years for that same reason, because we continue to put out a quality product.
That sure makes a difference, and that sure has made the difference yesterday. Jean-Luc Albin was here, one of the great American, and let's call him French.
He is French.
He is very French.
But he's been here a long time.
He's been here
America.
A long time ago, and he actually stood up and said, you know, I am a French chef, and there's no doubt about that. But his specialty is pastry style. Just about everything except bread. He doesn't do bread. Used to, but doesn't anymore. Anyway, he was over here yesterday, and he inspired, I think, everybody who was listening to what he had on his mind, because the product he put out
was
so
spectacular.
I mean, people were, they could hardly keep their standing up.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
So he did a spectacular job, and he made some great points. So I'm just very grateful to have been in business successfully for 7 years, and we had a great season. And this is our season.
Yep.
This is the season for our product and the season for oysters. So I had 3 dozen raw oysters at Pascal's Manali on Christmas Eve.
I've heard worse ideas.
And
in fact, that's the best idea I've heard today.
And, you know, things have been a little touch and go for oysters for the last couple of months because they opened the spillway and it really disrupted a lot
of the beds.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do to when you're having that much rain in this city. Well, I can tell you the ones that I had were absolutely delicious.
They're great. I mean, yesterday, was this yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday. I got together with the two ladies that run Jalou. I always get the name of this place goofed up. It's J-U-O-N-N-E, Juan. I always get it wrong.
Okay.
Anyway, they have a restaurant over here on Girard Street. And went over there yesterday and with Marianne. And we were talking about this and that. And we noticed that the newsletter has been around 40 years already. That's how
A long time. So
yeah.
Can I tell you more about my oysters at Pascal's?
Yeah, yeah.
So they were ice cold, salty, which is the reason why they're so good this time of year, because they're soaking up all of the good salt in the waters. And they were absolutely delicious. I got a chance to meet Carmen for the first time. And one of the things that I thought about that impressed me so much, and I wanted to ask you because of the number of restaurants that you have been in for so long, is what I loved about Pascal's is when you walk in, it's not like you're immediately met with some like small space, like a waiting area before you go into the restaurant. When you walk in, you have the oyster bar to your right for people who just want oysters. Mm-hmm. Then you have the big like cocktail bar to your left. And then you have a nice seated waiting area, which they had a beautiful Christmas tree in that space. And the kids were running around, and they were super nice. Not my kids. They're crazy. But I guess what a five and three-year-old. Yes, my kids are crazy. The 5 and 3 year old are crazy. So they're looking at the Christmas tree and all of the ornaments, and Carmen's right there, and we're having a conversation, and we're getting champagne at the cocktail bar. And I just absolutely loved to be able to walk right into a restaurant space and there actually be space to move or to sit down. Because in a lot of the restaurants that you go to lately, you've got this teeny tiny little hostess space that you're expected to like all kind of fit in. And it's not really inviting. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you is if you could think of, and I had a list of them, and because Pascal's came up, is if you had to say what was one of your favorite dining setups, like actual physical restaurant spaces in the city.
Is this a question to be answered for all time, or is it just from, you know,
like
in
recent
comments?
Okay, I'm going to open it up to all time because a lot of the restaurants that I'm thinking of have been here well over 20 years. So I feel like if you have one on the top of your head that you think of, because I have a few that I can talk about that really have impressed me, is dining spaces, just the actual physical restaurant and the setup that you really think is ideal, that's your favorite space. And I'll give you another example. So I explained to you Pascal's and how you walk in, they have the oyster bar to the right, and they have the cocktail bar to the left, and then they have an actual seating area where the Christmas tree is right now. And it just allows for a lot of movement, and you can see the activity going on in the restaurant. And I really felt like that makes for a very inviting space. Here's another one. Pelican Club.
I love the Pelican Club.
Okay, you walk in.
In fact, I'm going there tonight.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I always did think so.
Me too.
Okay, so you walk in, and they have the bar, the cocktail bar, right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But then they already have tables that you can eat at in the cocktail bar space. So you can sit down and actually have dinner there, or you can walk up to the cocktail bar, which has ample seating and ample space to stand around, and you can see the liveliness of the restaurant. You can see into the dining space behind the hostess stand and really get a feel for how much energy and excitement is going on in the restaurant. So I absolutely love Pelican Club for that. Oh, are we ready for our first pick?
It looks like. But hang on to what you're talking about, and we will return with more of the food show in a moment. But first, please, this. It's the food show, all right. It sure is. And it's nice to be here with you, walking and talking around food and wine and restaurants, cooking and, you know, a whole range of it. Ollie is here. Last time I couldn't remember.
Allie.
Yeah, Allie. Oh, I still got it wrong.
It's okay. Allie. I think we have Norman Allie? On the phone, though.
And Norman is here.
He's been so great to be on hold. Norman, thank you so much for holding through the break. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too. Hey, Uncle Tom. How you doing, sir?
Well, you know, I'm just drifting along at my usual pace.
Okay, I went on an expedition looking for a rump roast, for two rump roasts, actually. The wife wants to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Walmart, to Winn-Dixie, and to Sam's. And there's no consistency to the name. I asked the guy at Sam's, I asked the butcher. I said, I'm looking for a rump roast. He said, well, that's a top round. Can you clarify what
Well, there are so many different cuts of beef that, you know, you have to understand what it is you're looking at when you have the meat on the table there, and tell whether it has a lot of marbling in it. That's where you'll see these little streaks of fat in there. That's
right.
A good thing. Or whether it's just like jammed with fat, which it might be too much for you. You know,
Norman, I do think that they use names for cuts of meat a little interchangeably.
But, do you really?
Yeah. Right. Yes. They use names for different cuts of meat interchangeably, unless you're talking about a very specific one. And I buy all my meats for consistency and quality at Dorgnex.
Oh.
So go ahead.
That's what I ended up going to, Allie. That's what I ended up going to Dorgnex and get two of them.
If you're looking for the absolute nomenclature here, the rump roast is often the bottom or outside round cut of the sirloin.
Yeah, okay.
Area. Okay, that's exactly where this rump roast is. So if you have any of those words in there, you're in the right direction.
Thank you, Doug.
Terrific. I appreciate that. It's awful kind of, y'all. The difference, but a prime rib and choice, that's pretty standard. Is that how it works?
There's a, you know, on the meat itself, it'll have whether it's prime. It's not going to be prime. Whether it's choice or any of the other possibilities, use your feeling about it, and get a good look at it, and you'll it's pretty obvious.
You know what? One of my favorite things to do, Norman, is I like to talk specifically to the butchers there.
Yes,
and
that's a great idea.
And are incredibly friendly, and I find, mm-hmm. I mean, I have no endorsements here. I'm just telling you, I have bought my meat around town at a lot of various different butchers and just grocery stores, and I feel like the most helpful and apt to be helpful are the ones at Dorgnex. And I feel like they've really helped educate me on a variety of cuts of meats and different preparations when I'm talking about experimenting, you know, with a new style of cooking a different cut of meat. But I love talking to them. They're super helpful. They're very informed. And I always feel like I walk out of there confident in my decision. And I feel like the quality of their meats is always consistent. And I have not found that, in my opinion, anywhere else but Restaurant Depot, which you can't get meat at unless you have, you know, an account there.
Yeah.
So
terrific. Good people. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything. I'm going to get ready to get on the road. I don't want to be talking on the phone.
Okay. Thank you
so
much, Norman. Happy New Year.
See ya. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We haven't talked about beef a whole lot in recent times for some reason. I don't really understand. No big deal. But it is something that you have to talk about if you're going to do any beef eating. And or you may as well do it because you'll get...
Oh.
Ron, the gourmet waiter, is here. I hear you're going to be sitting in for me soon.
I'll be co-hosting the show with you on Monday. I believe you'll be at
this
the Coolwater Ranch, and I'll be
Monday?
Out of the studio.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Well, Ron, how are you? I'm well.
I'm fantastic.
From you. Happy New Year.
You as well. Great show as always. Love to see you both on the radio.
Thank you so much.
I was going to second what you were talking about a few minutes ago. I love Dornacks, and as somebody that's been in the food industry for a long time, and someone who cooks almost every meal, I can say that I think it's best to get to know your butcher.
Yes.
And I'll go to a grocery store, and I'll just pick somebody out that looks like they know what they're doing, and that they've been there a while. And I'll get to know them. I'll even tip them if they accept tips. And that way they kind of get to know me. And then when I ask them a question, I get an honest answer from them. I don't have time to understand all of these cuts. I know a lot of them.
Right.
I know prime. I know select. I know choice. But the cow is just a big animal. So I just get to know my butcher. I think that's the simple solution.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, there you go. That does about nail it down.
Dornacks to me is one of the best grocery stores I've ever been in.
It's true. It always has. It's the place where you most feel like you can walk into the store and within the next 5 minutes you could be eating something at home.
Definitely. The other one, the reason why I like Dornacks so much is just that they have a cashier and a bagger on every station. Dornacks wants to get you in and out, even on holidays when it's super busy. I fly in and out of Dornacks, and I suppose that that's the same way as Aquista pays on the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and some of those other family chains. Yeah, I agree. In fact, one of the things, I guess I go back to the helpfulness. I just feel like they have so many people, their available staff, to be helpful to you, which makes me feel like I'm making good choices. Because I've talked with, whether it's the butcher or somebody else in bakery or over there with cheese and wines, is they have ample staff that are there to be helpful to you so you feel like you can make good choices. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Now, Allie, I've got a question for you about your business.
Yes.
Okay, when are you going to come out with the combo pack? And what I mean by the combo pack
the
is...
The combo pack. Is that a dance?
Is when...
I'll be doing the Bodnock pass.
Here's the combo pack. The combo pack is a handful of your oyster shells and a cookbook packed into one.
Okay, here's what I've got for you. I have just come out with a recipe guide that goes with our shells. One of the most interesting things that has, when you own your own business is how many ideas people throw at you to develop and concept and come out with.
Yep.
And the amount of time it takes to just develop something new is far more than you would ever imagine. Now, maybe if I was some sort of brilliant inventor around the world, people that come out with stuff all the time, maybe I could bring something from idea to execution in a matter of months, because I think there are people out there that do that.
Sure.
But so for us, number one reason why we do 12 shells instead of a handful like six is the minimum amount of oysters that you get is a pint, and they have between 16 and 18 oysters in them. So we felt like it was a good match to go with a dozen, just like you order a dozen at the restaurant, right?
Most people order a dozen. A handful to me could be a dozen, because I'm like you. When I sit down and I eat oysters, I'm not just eating one dozen.
Right.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to hang up listen. I'm going to hang up and listen, make room for another caller.
Okay.
Great show as always. Love hearing from you both.
Thanks, Ron. Look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You think we should keep talking to him or make him twist in the wind?
Well, he's going to listen. I know he's busy. He's probably getting ready to go into work. But
I'm kidding.
We have it took us, just to sort of answer this question on the idea concept to development, it took us 2 years to develop our ceramic oyster shells.
I can believe it, because just engineering it is probably
2 years. And one of the biggest things that took us the longest amount of time is finding the right clay body.
clay body?
Clay body, the actual clay
that
you use to make our ceramic shells out, because it's called a flameware.
Flameware.
And a flameware, almost is intuitively exactly what it says in its name, is that it can stand up to flame, to direct flame. And so we bought a couple of different flameware clay bodies from manufacturers around the country, and we ended up going with the particular one that we've used now for 7 years because we felt like it stood up to the rigorous testing, product testing that we had put it through. So just that one idea took us 2 years to develop.
I'm sure it did. Yeah, that's not easy. None of that is.
So I hope that answers your question, Ron. And thank you for calling. But Tom, I wanted to go back to this, and maybe you had thought of another restaurant, but I've got a couple of more that come to mind when I was talking about favorite dining setups.
Dining setups.
Like when you walk into the physical restaurant and what you see and where you're standing first seems really inviting to you. So when you walk into some of these tinier restaurants, right, you're met almost immediately in a tiny one with a hostess stand.
Yeah.
Right? You walk
one hope size. I mean,
You're talking about 3 feet.
Maitre d's have disappeared largely. It's something that's not completely gone, but it's getting there.
Right. So you walk in maybe 3 to 5 feet, and immediately there's a hostess stand. So there's not really much distance between the front door that you walk into and the hostess stand. And there might be, you know, 5 chairs in that tiny little space that you're standing in with the hostess stand while you're waiting to be seated for dinner. Now, I know not every restaurant can be a large-scale, ample-space restaurant. But what I have found recently, and I want to know if anybody out there is listening, what's your favorite dining setup as I'm describing this? So I said Pascal's Manali, right? Because you walk in, to the right's the oyster bar. To the left, you can get a drink, and then they have a waiting space right there.
Well, and sometimes you have to spend quite a lot of time in that space.
Right, depending on how busy they are.
How busy they are. And it's actually, I think, some of the charm of the restaurant is that you go there, the place is packed, and you wonder, what's the deal here? I don't have time for this or whatever. But you just wait it out, and then you find you're talking to a bunch of people that are friends of yours who just happen to be there at that time.
Right. I think it's break-o time.
Take over for me for a couple of minutes, will you?
I sure will.
Okay. We want to see how good you are.
Oh, good.
Okay. Don, where'd that come from?
John Foles.
John Foles, and then his partner in the business, who is from Chicago originally. And I'm just drawing a blank on John Foles' name in this. This is a major, beautiful, super gorgeous restaurant with a really interesting menu and great service of the old style. And it's right in the French Quarter, right next door to the Royal Sonesta. So somebody please tell me the name of that restaurant.
Okay, this is what we're talking about, y'all. We're back. It's the Food Show, 105.3 FM HD2. Sitting here with Tom Fitzmaurice, Mr. Food, and Allie Lofton, the Oyster Lady. And we were having a conversation about favorite dining setups. So not necessarily the food right at this moment, but the space, the physical space that you actually walk into.
Ah, we just got the answer. See
Doug.
This? See this?
Thank you,
Doug. Are the listeners who talk to us all the time.
No, that's Doug, the Oracle, all-knowing, all-seeing.
That's about right. Yep.
Okay, so the other one I mentioned.
What's
after
the name
Pascal's
of it again?
Restaurant Revolution.
Revolution, yeah.
I mentioned the Pelican Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because you walk in while there's, you know, while there's tables and everything set up, you have a nice large bar with ample seating to grab a drink and wait for your reservation.
Yeah.
And the actual hostess stand is set back probably 15 feet from the front door.
That's
so
right,
there's
yeah.
lots of space to move around, grab a drink, mingle with the other people that are waiting, right? And just chat while you're getting ready to get seated.
This is what I like most. To me, the ultimate visit to a restaurant. And I've been putting this word out. I want everybody to think about how you feel about dining out. And, why don't you do it more often? But anyway.
Okay.
But What you were saying something.
Dining spaces. So you like restaurant revolutions? You walk in, and you like the space setup.
Yeah, and what I like about it is that all of the food is well separated. The music is on the low side, but it's there, and it's nice, and it's good. And
I like the bar.
The bar is beautiful.
The bar is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It's a nice, large space that you can sit at with lots of seating. And the hostess stand, again, is set back, so I feel like there's a theme developing here, is that I don't necessarily like to walk right into a restaurant, and the first thing I almost physically run into is a hostess stand. Yeah. Like, I want to be able to step inside of the restaurant and then be greeted by somebody. Yeah. And I like being able to grab a drink at the bar and then, you know, wait for my table. So another one that came to mind, which I think is just such a statement one, is Domenica.
Domenica with the pizza and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's elevated, right? Like, you have the space that you walk up the stairs and there's the bar and you can eat at the bar. But then you can look down. And here's one of my other favorite things about dining.
It's packed all the time.
To people watch.
People watch.
I'm a people watcher.
There are a lot of people who are well worth watching.
Yes.
And vice versa, too.
So I like sitting up at the top. In that bar space in Domenica, and I like looking down, you know, to see everybody. I like the different elevation levels.
I was just starting to get into that matter when I let myself go off some other direction. But what I like more in a restaurant than anything else other than the food, which is a no-brainer, is I want to walk into a restaurant and find out that they have lots of good specials, and they have, you know, this and that, and it has the interesting most I don't know how to put this in words exactly. When you go there, it's a the people there, whether they are the customers or whether they're the waiters or cooks or anything, they are interesting to your
Like, so, the wait staff.
The wait staff. And, and when you go in, they take you aside, more or less. I mean, not aggressively, but they make you feel really happy you're there.
Very welcome.
And you want to carry on the conversation with them even more than they started it themselves.
Yes. You know, that brings me to one of my points, and I think that's a good point that you make that I can elaborate on, is that going to a restaurant is almost an invitation on their behalf, right? To come into their home, these chefs, right? To almost come into their house so that they can host you and cook for you and take care of you.
Yep.
That is one of the pinnacles of the dining experience, is that you feel welcome to come into somebody else's home, if you will, but the restaurant is an extension of their home and who they are, so that they can feed you and take care of you.
I totally agree with you. I put it in different words, but not dramatically so. I think that when restaurants, when you walk into a restaurant and they clearly are friendly and that make you want to come back there again.
Yes.
And again and again and again. And I never get tired of that. And when I find it, God bless them. And when you don't, you don't go anymore.
Right. So here's another space, a physical space that I really enjoy, which is different than their neighboring space, which I like. So Galatoire's 33
on a scale of 100?
No.
Okay.
Just Galatoire's 33.
So 33.
You have Galatoire's.
Galatoire's.
Right. Which you walk in and they have a small space, a little probably 6x6 space that you walk into with the maitre d' right there. And you'll either be taken upstairs, right? The stairs are right there. You'll be taken upstairs to the dining space. Or there's the dining room right to your right. So you got to kind of like wait and mingle right there in a tight little space. But if you go right next door, right next door to Galatoire's 33, you walk, you know, there's the double doors, but you walk right in and you can see the entire restaurant.
Are you talking about the 33 restaurant?
Yes, 33. Mm-hmm. So you can see the entire restaurant. You can see the bar right there to your right and all of the tables and booths set up down the middle. And I love open restaurants. Like, yeah. I love to see all the liveliness, the activity. I mentioned the point about people watching, right? I like the openness and sitting there and being able to people watch. And I feel like Galatoire's 33 really, you know, makes that possible.
It makes it possible. But I got to say, that is not something that moves me particularly because...
An open space restaurant?
Open space is okay. I can take it or leave it.
Okay.
But in this case, it's something that I get, you know, Marianne, my wife, is always... poking me in the side or in some other places to get me to admit that I'm nuts when I say that everywhere I go, it's too loud for me. But just about every place I go to is too loud to me. Galatoire's, I like the way it looks. I know all the waiters, so no problem there. The menu is nice. Their steaks are delicious, which is what they started it on. But it's loud in there.
Well, I feel like everybody's loud.
Come to think of it, the main room is also one of the loudest places
right.
I've ever been. I don't know. I just don't think it has to be so loud is the only I keep coming back to that. Very few restaurants. Oh, well, this is a lost cause. So I'm
that's
just
OK. No, I see your point. I music and the level of noise in general makes it a little more difficult to have conversation. Mm-hmm. So unless you're really willing to talk loud and lean into each other to have a conversation, it definitely plays into your selection of restaurants. So I had one more that I wanted to mention about the physical space that I really liked, and that's Jack Rose.
Jack Rose? You like Jack Rose?
I really liked the space because they have the bar and seating area. I guess when you walk in, that's to your right. And then they have the dining spaces to your left. One, mm-hmm. You have one, and then you go into another deeper level, and you have the second one. And I guess my point is that I really mm-hmm. love to people watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like the open restaurant spaces. And I don't really think that smaller spaces, like broken up rooms, make a difference in noise level. When you're talking about there being 10 tables per room. I think when you have 10 tables per room, it ends up being just a loud space in general because you have that many people in a space talking and creating a level of noise that is hard to overcome. So if anybody out there, call us, 260-6368. If you have another restaurant that I haven't mentioned on here that's your favorite actual physical space.
It feels good to be there. It feels good to be there.
Well, you like the space setup. You like how the space is set up.
Okay.
You know, that allows you to enjoy different aspects of the restaurant. Then call us, 260-6368. But one of the other questions that I asked you about yesterday, Tom, was, and we didn't get to, was what elements, like if you had to take a particular element from each restaurant,
mm-hmm.
service,
mm-hmm.
food, ambiance.
Boy, that it would take a few hours.
You know, well, I mean, if anyone comes to the top of your head, you know, that you like, and these are the places that I have been eating lately or have eaten at lately that made me think of this. I had a great waiter at Jack Rose about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was on top of his game, came over regularly enough to feel like I was taken care of. You know, refill my water, ask how things were, but he wasn't coming back every 3 minutes
you don't want that.
Interrupt my conversation. And he was so genuine. Jared is his name, by the way, over at Jack Rose. He was so genuine, and you made this comment probably 5 minutes ago, is they make you feel like they really want you there.
Mm-hmm.
They make you feel like you're a part of the family, that they want you in the restaurant, that they want to take care of you and make sure you have a good time. So Jack Rose is on my list if I had to pick an element for service at a restaurant. Jack Rose would be service.
Jack Rose, it bumped me with a good feeling at first, and what I was looking for and what I found was, because it was in the spot that used to be the Caribbean room of the hotel. And I'm of an age where we went there pretty often to that restaurant. It was where you would run into friends and business partners and, you know, things like that. And it was a great place. And then the restaurants kind of fell apart, and they, you know, came and went open and closed for several years. And then somebody in the management pulled it all together and put it back together again. And the thing that happened that it called Jack Rose, they kept the name at first, but they let it go after that, is that it didn't remind me even a little bit of the old place. Now,
oh, it's definitely not.
There, most of the people who would go there would probably not even be aware of this, of some of the older food that they had over there. But I thought their food was great in their greatest times. And now every time I go, I look at it, I said, this is, you know, the everything I used to come here for is somewhere else, but not here.
Right. Well, I actually, so I have a story about that.
Oh, let's hear it.
Right, about that hotel and that restaurant. Is my husband's company used to manage the hotel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I actually had my son, my first son, Cale, I had his gender reveal there when it was the old hotel. I mean, it's the Pontchartrain still.
Yeah.
But when it was the old Pontchartrain. With the mahogany wood and the light color.
It was beautiful in an old-fashioned kind of way.
It was beautiful in an old-fashioned way.
Yep.
And I really thought just the light color palette was really inviting and gorgeous. And what happened is that the owners of it were not looking to put money into the infrastructure. The infrastructure of the hotel.
Yeah,
to
you can't
redo
just
it.
You can't say let's build a hotel tomorrow. You know, you can't.
Right.
You can't do that.
Because of how old the hotel was, it was going to require a lot of money, and they were not interested in investing the money to redo the infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, what do you do about that?
And so I think what happened is you had two young players in the industry come along and say, "This is the spin we want to put on it." And if I had to describe it in one word, I would say it's, well, two words, modern and sexy.
Modern and sexy.
Modern and sexy.
And this is at...
this is Jack Rose.
Jack Rose.
Yeah. So I would describe it as modern and sexy. I thought the food that we had there was fantastic.
Well, in its heyday, yes.
This is recently.
Okay.
For me, well, personally.
Enjoy.
And the service, Jared, that we had over there, he was wonderful. So that's why I mentioned the service from that place. If I had to say food, my favorite element, if I had to pick one place for food, it had been where GW Finn's, where I went for New Year's Eve.
You know, that's a good one. Yeah, that's hard to beat. And they don't even have to really get into the food too much to do it, because their menu and their kitchen are so good.
So good.
That they can just let it happen.
He cranks out some of the most consistently excellent seafood in this city.
All the time.
My only critique for me going back to the dining setups and spaces is that when you walk in, right, you have their small waiting area and you have the bar to the left and the rest of the dining area, is that they have the tall lattice.
Yeah.
Right?
The whole place is a peculiar design. It's not bad.
That's
it's not
a good way to describe it. Yes. So they have the tall lattice that kind of, I would say, obstructs your view. And for me personally, because I like open restaurant spaces, I love to be able to walk into the restaurant and see everything that's going on.
Yeah, and it gives you that feeling too, maybe to too great a degree. Sometimes I wonder, because they are the design of the place and the way they operate is in much more modern style than anything else I can think of. Right.
So you think more of the traditional style was to have compartmentalized rooms? for dining.
It would help, but this is, as you know, wide open.
They have a big open space except mm-hmm. for the lattice that's right there around the hostess stand.
Yeah, yeah. They're nice people, and whenever I go there, I'm always approached as a server. I'm always approached by somebody. It's somebody different every time, who comes at me like they've known me all their life, and they haven't, and they nobody gave them a clue, and I didn't give them a clue as to who that jerk
very,
is.
Very, very friendly.
Yeah. But that's where it always seems to wind up.
So theirs was food. Yeah. So service for me was Jack Rose. If I had to pick an element from each of the restaurants I've been to lately, it would have been service at Jack Rose, food at G.W. Finn's. Just absolutely outstanding. And then ambiance, which is just fancy word
right,
for...
This is... I don't want to run out of time here for this hour.
Okay.
But the... That's why I'm burst...
Okay, thank you, Doug.
I'm bursting into your next question, which was... or one I was about to ask myself. What were we talking about there? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We were talking about the elements.
Cold.
Pick an element from each of the restaurants that you've dined at lately that, you know, you really felt like is the pinnacle of that restaurant. So my last one was going to be Ambiance, and it was Dominica.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Well, but I think Doug's going to let us know. So.
I think he is going to let us know. But what I was going to add here is that... It's a bad day for me to keep up things.
You're talking about food.
We were talking
or
about
a
food.
Space.
We were talking about the spaces and everything else. But there was I've lost the string.
That's okay. Yeah. I can I'll keep talking about my ambiance with Dominica. So I love Dominica because when you walk in, I feel like it's just glistening. It's golds and blacks, and it's a little dark. Like, I think it's a little bit of a dark restaurant. And I think that's okay for the evening time, but it felt very sexy, and I do like sexy restaurants.
I think we've found the problem, at least of talking about this with me. Because you just touched on a topic about which I know nothing.
Well, we'll be back.
And we will come back with more of The Food Show after first we check in with the news, I think, here on 105.3 FM.